Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the Packers podcast presented by JSOnline.com, PackersNews.com. I am Jim Ozarski along with Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Preseason game number one in the books. Yeah. Packers win 28-26 over the Houston Texans, capping 3 days, I guess now, worth of action between the two clubs.
Yeah, it was Texans week, and it was, depending on your perspective, it was really good work, or it was a colossal waste of time. I mean, in some regard, let's before we even get to Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur disagreeing, the preseason game was basically a junior varsity game, given that the Packers sat out 26 guys and 16 in starters.
Yeah, this is pretty incredible. I mean, even with a 90-man roster, basically Matt LaFleur and his coaches were getting a dry run at a close to a 46, right? I mean, you know, they had more than that to deal with, but it was, 26, three starters on defense, two on offense. That was it.
Yeah. I mean, it was unbelievable. So, you know, what can you take out of a game like that? I think the only thing you can really take out is individual performances. You can't really base a lot on where they are on anything. I mean, they caused three turnovers. That was a big deal. I mean, I think that was probably something we haven't seen a lot of with their defense. But I don't know. I think it was all individual performances.
Yeah, and so I took the focus of Tim Boyle, DeShone Kizer, Tom, because we don't know yet where Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur fall on keeping three on the 53. So maybe these guys are battling for one job. They haven't looked great through 11 practices. But I will say, if they were going to have their best day, the first preseason game would be the day to do it. And I thought, the raw numbers were good. But I think beyond that, first of all, no turnovers for DeShone Kizer, which in and of itself is kind of news. Mm-hmm. the one sort of throwaway ball that everyone gasped was actually an offside. I mean, it was a free play. So really not a bad decision. He had a 23-yard scramble negated. But really, and he said this, Tom, every drive that he had resulted in a kick. And there were hidden yardage on one of those, started at his own 8. They got to the 40, a punt, misplayed, turns into a touchdown, Equanimeous St. Brown. That's that hidden yardage stuff where on paper it's like, wow, they only moved the ball 30 yards in a punt. But that, sometimes you need to do that if you're the backup quarterback. You don't just throw it to the other guy.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of Kizer's performance. It was... I think the best thing you can say about it wasn't bad. It wasn't
right.
God-awful.
Isn't that an improvement for him, though?
Yeah, it is an improvement for him. I mean, he was 8 of 13 for 102 yards and a touchdown. He hit a couple of nice passes across the middle to Kumaro. But aside from that, I thought there wasn't a lot of stuff down the field. I didn't think his protection was that bad.
He got happy feet a few times.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I expected more or wanted to see more.
Okay.
I didn't expect more. I wanted to see more. And he got a pretty significant amount of playing time. Compare him to Joe Webb, who's the number three quarterback there, and played the entire game. And, they produced a lot more yards. They didn't get in the end zone until late. So, I don't know. I didn't think he didn't bowl me over, but he was better than I remember him from last year.
And maybe that's part of it. I guess for me, he has been so uneven. He has thrown interceptions to his teammates through practice that I guess you didn't. He didn't put the ball in danger, which, I mean, the guy's got an 11 to 26, something like that, career touchdown interception ratio. Like, so to me, I guess that was probably
a start,
right?
You know, he can be really maddeningly inconsistent, and I think that's what they're still trying to find with him. So
yeah.
Nothing was answered, but he didn't rule himself out of the backup job.
Right, I guess, which is, you know, where he would want to be after one game. Tim Boyle, 5 throws, 3 completions, 2 touchdowns. He was gifted the ball at the 3-yard line on a Chandon Sullivan interception. Now, on paper, that's great, but it took them 7 plays to get in from 3 yards. They needed a Texans penalty. They needed that was it. I mean, Jaymon Moore had a drop.
Yeah, what down was it when Jaymon Moore
fourth,
just
it was fourth down, he dropped the touchdown, but he was saved because of the
fourth down.
Yeah, he dropped one earlier in the game too. From Kaiser.
Yeah.
He fell down at the top of a route, which actually would have probably been a huge play downfield.
Yeah, and then Kaiser missed him on a crossing route too. He threw it way behind.
Yeah. Had his hands out. Yeah, so the second year wideout from Missouri didn't really have a, you know, great day. So in that 7-play stretch, though, Tom, we saw Matt LaFleur challenge a non-called DPI for the first time.
Yeah.
And so we saw that whole thing go down. He did not win. Actually, he had an assistant throw the flag for him. And said that communication and that process is going to be a work in progress for the year. He just felt that with his role as a play caller, he may not be actually in a position to throw the flag, which is why he needs this other guy. So that was kind of interesting
to make of that. You know, maybe because of his foot.
Right.
That's probably an issue. But getting back to Boyle, I think at least he hit a ball down the field, and that's what you look for. I mean, he hit Lazard on a, 27-yard touchdown?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what you look for in these games. Can a guy get the team into the end zone? He got him in the end zone twice.
Yeah.
Albeit the short drive on the first one. But, you know, both times he started in Texans territory, but who cares? I mean,
capitalize when you're giving the ball there.
So I expect, I don't know if this will be the case, but if Rodgers doesn't play next week, I expect Boyle to start. I think it would be fair for Boyle to start. Okay. I don't know if that's what will happen, but if this is a fair competition, I think he deserves to start against Baltimore.
Has it really worked that way in practice, though? I mean, they've rotated. I mean, Boyle's been clearly. No, I guess at times they've had Boyle come in after Rodgers.
They rotated.
It'll be interesting. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, well, he deserves to play with a higher caliber player. Now, Kaiser, next week I would expect that some of these starters will play, and so maybe Kaiser deserves to play with those starters. Oh man, I'm yawning because it's really early in the morning. 12,
yeah, we're
12
recording.
AM.
Yeah, it's.
So, I would like to see Boyle get, you know, more playing time, start at the beginning. You know, if they could somehow add Kaiser's mobility and flexibility to Boyle's body, you know, then they'd have a good quarterback. Boyle is an accurate thrower and he's got a pretty good arm.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Manny Wilkins cleaned up. With what's going on with this, do they really need to see him again in the next 2 weeks? Rodgers needs to play, so why waste? I hate to say waste. Why take away a possession or two from two guys who are actually going to be the backup quarterback?
Yeah, that's true. They don't. They could just save him for the fourth game if they really want. You know, they're looking at him for the practice squad. So, you know, maybe they don't want to show him around. Maybe they won't play him all that much just because they don't, you know, they're not going to want teams to have much film on him. We'll see. But, I mean, you know, he's not in the running, I don't think,
no.
The top three. He'd have to really start tearing it up in practice.
And they don't have that many practices left. I think there's only, you know, less than – there's nine left, I think, as we record this podcast. So, you know, you mentioned individual performances, but very few guys played. You know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling was out there, I think, for a series. Same thing with Geronimo Allison. Mm-hmm. Kumerow played a couple big third down catches. Great route running, as you'd expect.
Nice hands.
Right, so I don't think we saw anything new or bad there. Running game, not a whole lot going on.
They were really slow getting started, and then as the game wore on, Dexter Williams got a little bit of a groove there, but I'm really eager to look at it again because watch it on tape because I didn't see a lot of what I consider that wide zone. I mean, maybe there's some outside zones. Maybe I just didn't see it.
And it might not have. I mean, the group they had rolling out there might not have been executing it.
Maybe not.
I mean, this is no offense, but I mean, you're talking left to right, Gerhard DeBeard, mm-hmm. Elton Jenkins, Lucas Patrick, which maybe now kind of shows him as the backup center. Mm-hmm. Lane Taylor, who the head coach said post-game is playing for his job, and then
yeah,
Alex
I thought
Light.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah, because we asked him, why was he the only starting offensive lineman out there?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I guess that's how highly they think of Elton Jenkins.
Yeah.
Although I'd be a little bit worried about some of his pass protection, but he is a big man.
Yeah, so it was
a big, powerful man, yeah.
So it'll be, you know, that'll be interesting to see going forward. The kickers, you know, made the kicks. Mason Crosby had a PAT wiped off, penalty. So he had to kick from a little longer. He made that.
Had a god-awful kickoff.
Yeah, the squib or attempt or whatever that was.
I don't know what that was. Was that a squib or did he just mishit it? I mean, why would he be squibbing at that point?
I guess for me, I just assumed it was them practicing a... Because you know how with the change in rules, teams have... I mean, you've seen New England do this. Attempt different types of manner of kickoff to get the ball in play, do some things. So I just sort of assume we'll have to ask Sean Menenga that next time, you know, in a month when we see him next week.
Maybe Crosby.
Yeah.
See him. J.K. Scott was pretty good. You know, I always am hesitant to praise guys kicking in beautiful weather and great conditions. You know, I mean, he averaged 45.6. Gross and 39.8 net, had two inside the 20. It was a good day for him.
So, you know, you and I talked off air about Darius Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember mentioning him to you within the first week of camp.
Yeah.
And your veteran beat scribe self says, hold on, it's only been a few days.
Yeah.
And then but he's been worked in. Obviously, a really athletic touchdown catch, took a big shot.
Mm-hmm.
They put him back on punt return. Trevor Davis is hurt. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things talking about individual performances. He made a touchdown catch. Alan Lazard made a really good touchdown catch for Boyle.
Yep.
I would say of the, and that's a packed receiver room that Brian Gutekunst said, hey, I'm looking forward to see who shows out. So I guess Shepherd, of the group we don't know much about, you know, I mean, you could argue he looked better than Jamon Moore to a degree.
Oh.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Not even close. Yeah, I think he's got a chance. We'll continue, you know, you got to continue to see whether he can get open. But he's got a little experience. He's got return ability. He's making the most of what he's getting. And I would like to see him practice a little more with Rodgers and see if there's something there that they haven't seen. But great step for him. I think he made a really good step forward with that catch.
What did you think of Rashawn Gary? Flip to the other side of the ball. I mean, he has sort of dominated, or if not dominated, at least looked very good. He's looked the part through 11 practices. Even in the joint practice, kind of made Texans guys look silly. The Texans definitely respected him at times, Tom. There was one pass rush where the running back chipped him, and then the tight end chipped him, and then the left tackle picked him up. Other times you saw him one-on-one, kind of around. I mean, there's no stat line to speak of, but I know Brian...
I saw him give up the edge too often.
Yeah, he did crash down, yeah.
On a bootleg that, you know, they got a lot of yards on. I thought it was typical for
a rookie.
You know, I wouldn't write him off, nor would I crown him for his very first game. He got a lot of snaps. That's the best thing you could say. I mean, he got a ton of snaps, and he's got to learn the game. It's a completely different game from what he was playing at Michigan to what he's playing now. And so, you know, I'm not one of these people who gets really nervous about or gets down on, especially defensive linemen. I mean, he's a linebacker, but he's also a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of time for those guys to get used to playing against really athletic offensive linemen. And I wouldn't say it was a great performance, but I don't think it was anything to be worried about.
Behind him, now something to be worried about potentially, of the three starters on defense who played, Oren Burks was injured.
Yeah.
Early in the game, making a tackle, pounded his fist in the turf, and it ended up being the left shoulder that you were there in Oakland to see that he injured last year.
Yeah, he popped out on him in Oakland, and I don't know if this one popped out on him or not. If it did, you know, that's not a good sign. It means he's got a loose shoulder. So we'll have to see what his status is in the coming weeks. But, you know, if it's the same shoulder, I have no idea if it's the same injury. No idea. I just know that in Oakland last year, it popped out in a freak way.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe he's got a bad shoulder and it's something they have to take care of. We'll find out it'll depend on how long he's out.
Right. So Ty Summers, the seventh round pick, started next to him. And Summers has really progressed since family night. I mean, Curtis Bolton, the undrafted free agent, actually was getting all the second team reps next to James Crawford. And then it was Summers. He flashed, you know, he was telling us pretty much since Friday and then against the Texans, hey, I really want to make tackles. He made 9 or 10, missed a few.
He missed some tackles.
And he admitted that post game. Yeah. But I guess, you know, if Oren Burks is going to be out for whatever period of time, even if it's just for the next 3 weeks of training camp, What'd you make? I mean, he was next man up. I don't really know who else would have played. It's a pretty thin inside linebacking group.
Crawford could play inside. But, you know, ultimately, I mean, they would like – Burks gives them the best combination of someone who can run and can play the run. Who can run and play the run. But ultimately, I think they're going to play a safety – at that position a lot of the time in their nickel, because they play a lot of nickels, probably 70-75% nickel. So in a development there, Josh Jones did not play. He's been starter, although more recently Raven Green has gotten some snaps in the nickel. But they signed Ibrahim Campbell, and I really thought he did a nice job last year. I thought he was really playing well, and then he tore his ACL. And now I guess he's finally healthy, and they decided to bring him back. I think it's a good move, actually.
Yeah, it's interesting. because, yeah, Jones has – so when Jones missed the voluntaries, just to recap for people, he missed the voluntaries. So Raven Green was in that role through the mandatory minicamp. Training camp starts. Raven Green with Darnell Savage out, starting next to Adrian Amos. So Jones was getting that look as that nickel linebacker, whatever, hybrid, whatever you want to call it, because Green was deep.
Mm-hmm.
Once Savage came back, Green was getting those looks. He forced a fumble on Thursday night.
He
so
did.
It'll be interesting. You know, Matt LaFleur said, you know, Josh Jones has a little injury, nothing big, but that's why he didn't play. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see where he actually fits in, or if now that Campbell's back, if you know, Brian Gutekunst isn't afraid to shake things up.
I almost have this feeling, and I don't know this, you know, it's sometimes just a gut feeling. I sometimes go with my gut feelings, but I sort of get the sense that they're keeping him, their druthers, if they had their druthers, they'd let him go. But you never know how many injuries you might have in camp, and he's a minimum wage guy at this point. So, I mean, they already paid him his bonus last 2 years ago. So, keep him around, and then at the end of camp, you're happy with Raven Green and Campbell and Savage and Amos, then let him go or try to trade him. I mean, they're not going to be able to trade him,
right,
but let him go.
Right. And Josh Jackson hasn't played yet either. And
right,
the reason I bring that up is because we asked Jason Simmons way back in the winter about, is Josh Jackson a corner or safety? And he didn't say. I mean, Josh is he as physically imposing as a Josh Jones? Probably not. But they didn't just say he's a corner. So I think they might be flexible. They might be waiting. You know, whatever's going on with his foot, he's still on NFI. You know, that could play into this too.
Yeah, and Campbell can play that position too. He's a really smart player. He's been in Patton's system in Cleveland, and he did a nice job last year. So that'll be something to watch. I mean, really to watch how much playing time that Josh Jones gets now that Campbell's here.
Yeah. So there was Matt LaFleur, at least probably in his mind, feels he put a bow on the mini controversy, if you will, of the week, which was Aaron Rodgers on Wednesday saying, I don't like joint practices, didn't get much out of it. PA is going to look into this live action kick return.
Mm-hmm.
So the next time we see Matt LaFleur was Thursday night. He is asked about it. Began handling with humor, joke that why would he talk to Aaron? Because obviously he doesn't ever talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then said, paraphrasing, Aaron has a right to his opinion, but that's all it is, because it's not just about him. And then, but did agree that, you know, it was probably a mistake to go with a full special teams because Houston ramped up their intensity level. The Packers didn't respond. Trevor Davis gets hurt. So, you know, he sent a message to a degree, tried to play it nicely, gave his quarterback some kudos by agreeing with his player rep that maybe they shouldn't have done some things. So how did you feel that went over, that, you know, even addressing it at all, how he addressed it, did it matter, did he have to?
Yeah, I mean, so in that situation, he can't let that get out of control. He can't let Rodgers dictate how they're going to practice, or if he wants to, you know, voice his opinion, that's fine. He's it's free,
right?
You know, First Amendment, I'm all for it. I think, though, he should not back down. It doesn't sound like he did back down on that. He really likes those practices,
yeah.
And he did say, you know, he's just one of 11.
Right.
And I did like hearing that from him. I think he's got to stick to that and not let, if he were to just cave and say, okay, well, I kind of agree with Aaron, then he's going to be lost. Then it's a lost cause. But he did kind of stand up to it, and he's got to continue to do that. He's got to stand up to Rodgers, who's going to try to exert his will on a lot of things. That's his nature. That's what he does. He's an opinionated guy, and he wants things, you know, that will help him be successful. But it's not always best for the team, and so there's a hierarchy here, and Matt LaFleur is the boss, and he's got to make sure that he continues to act that way.
Was it, I guess the thing that surprised me to a degree, Tom, and maybe because he is a first-year head coach, he felt he had to respond. I mean, I know just even listening to Mike McCarthy over the years, if stuff like this happened, well, Aaron said this, what do you say? And he's like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, is there a did he have to do it, or does it set a strange precedence? Because now if Aaron says something on Wednesday, we got to talk to the coach Thursday, and you can always get in this weird...
Was he asked about it?
He was asked about it.
So he didn't bring it up on his own. I think he tried to answer it to the best of his ability. I give him credit for that. It sort of became kind of a national story about first spat between those two, and at least that's how it's been looked at. And I mean, to some degree, I think there's some accuracy with that, but it was an opportunity for him to not back down, and so I think it wasn't bad for him to talk about it and say what he said. You know, go ahead and have the last word on it.
Yeah.
Because he's the head coach, and the head coach should have the last word on that. So I don't have a problem with him talking about it. Just based on what I saw, I think he did an okay job. And I know with the interview with Peter King, he said this is a partnership with Rodgers, and that's fine. You can say that, but it's you're still the boss, and you need to make sure that everybody knows that, you know, and so including the quarterback. So on to the next one.
Yeah.
You know, so there's right. another clash of opinions, or we see something that Rodgers doesn't like, and then we'll see.
We'll do it again.
Yeah, we'll do it again, right.
As wrapping up, really this was probably, Tom, I guess Sunday will be the end of the heart of training camp. You know, the two more open practices, that'll be 13 practices, one game, and then now they hit this stretch where it's, you know, off days sandwiched around games.
Mm-hmm.
So what, a final thought either on, you know, these first 12 days, if you include the preseason game. I know a lot of people probably ask, who stands out, who's in trouble? I don't know if you're there yet, but so either a look back or maybe a look ahead. What's kind of on your mind as we wrap this part of camp and push now towards these last 3 weeks?
Well, I want to see more of the run game. I just heard so much about how important play action is. I want to see the wide zone and whether they really can run that scheme, whether it's effective or not. You know, I think it'll be a really good test against Baltimore, depending on how many starters Baltimore plays. But, you know, they're a 3-4 defense, very aggressive. And if they can't run the ball against those guys, that's going to be that's a step back. And they need to keep developing as their run game. And so that's what I'm going to be kind of watching. I want to see if they can stretch the field. You don't see them stretch the field all that much. We finally saw it with Lazard. But you don't see, even in practice, you don't see that many deep balls. It's more a lot of stuff that goes horizontal.
Yeah, a lot of catch and run.
Yeah.
Right.
So I want to see if they're going to be able to do that. That's pretty much what I think I'll be looking at.
I agree up front. I mean, at some point, in order to make that run game work, that those five guys need to do it together.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Jones needs to be in there. So for me, I'm curious to see this health You know, I think up to this point, Tom, it was like, oh, okay, be cautious, be, you know, but now you're hitting crunch time. Like, as we said, as we record this, 9 practices left, 2 games that basically these guys would play in before you go into Chicago. I mean, it's not like you're starting against, I mean, I don't know, Arizona. So, for me, though, I am going to look, I'm still fascinated by the receiver room. Tom, and just seeing how that back end shakes out. Do they keep 7? Do they keep 6? Do they go with, are they willing to roll the dice on some undrafted guys? Is Brian Gutekunst, you know, attached to his draft picks? He'll like to say, no, I go with the best guy, but sometimes, you know, it's hard for those guys to admit that, you know, a mid-round pick wasn't as good or isn't as good as, you know, a street guy. So I'm curious to see how that goes.
I also want to see, you know, that I think of it, I want to see how the tackle position rounds out. They gave up on Jason Spriggs after 3 years, second-round pick. That's a pretty significant move. And I watched the tackles a little bit on Thursday night, and I actually thought they played Adam Pinkey at tackle. I need to go back and look at it, but my vision of him was that he had a pretty good game. And I don't remember a ton. Alex Light got off to a bad start, but I think their pass protection wasn't bad for the most part. And so I kind of want to see those guys. They must have some confidence in them because, you know, Spriggs at least was experienced.
Right.
But
yeah, Alex Light is kind of the guy right now, unless there's a few, you know, the backup swing tackle isn't on the team yet. Or it's just Billy Turner, and then, you know, he's really the third tackle.
Right.
But, no, you're right, that's an interesting... Pankey played right tackle and then played left tackle, whereas Gerhard DeBeer, fan favorite already, got a start. You're right, they start out with some holds and saw a lot of that, actually, a lot of flags, but... No, it'll be interesting. Obviously, a lot going on. And, yeah, at Baltimore, I think, is probably the best test. You know, they might play in front of 10 people in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
But even – and that'll be on Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. So you'll get your Packers fix up there once –
That's right.
To some degree.
But I think this next game is a big one because Baltimore's going to bring it. They bring it no matter if it's their first team, second team, or third team.
Yeah. John Harbaugh likes to break a lot of rules when it comes to, you know, practicing his guys and hitting people. And I would imagine, you know.
They'll be ready.
They'll be ready, yeah, for sure. So,
okay.
Well, Tom, it is early Friday morning. We'll thank you all for listening. Of course, visit and download and subscribe. Everything that JSOnline.com does, PackersNews.com, download the app, subscribe, turn on your notifications, especially this time of year, whether it be injuries, roster moves, and of course, in just, what, 3 short weeks, cut down day, when everything's going crazy. So get everything you could possibly want from Tom and I, Olivia Reiner, doing great videos, Facebook Live, Ryan Wood, Pete Doherty, and the whole crew here at PackersNews.com. Thank you for listening. Catch you next time. We'll be right back.